Well, these scripture verses that I just read, they describe the time immediately following Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem, before he is, of course, arrested and captured and crucified. And as Jesus entered that day, the people around him shouted out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." But even before Jesus has time to visit the temple and speak with the people, he begins weeping. Jesus begins weeping. And he cries for the city and for the people of Jerusalem. And it begins in Luke 19, verse 41. And it says, "As he came near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, 'If you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Indeed, the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up ramparts around you and surround you and hem you in on every side. They will crush you to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave within you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation from God.'" So this is setting the stage for you for the scene that we're going to talk about. It was immediately following this point where Jesus weeps. Jesus weeps twice in the Bible. Can you remember the other time when Jesus wept? It was outside of a tomb. Lazarus's tomb. He wept for Lazarus and for the grief that his family was experiencing, even though he knew he would be raising Lazarus from the dead that day. But immediately following this, the whole of chapter 20 in Luke describes the authorities trying to trip Jesus up. And they do that by asking him loaded questions and difficult things that would be hard for anyone to answer. And despite that, they fail, and finally they are left speechless. And then in the events leading up to Jesus' capture and imprisonment and ultimate death, he stands now before the great temple, the temple that was built by Herod. It was a magnificent structure, and it was built using large stones, and the scripture says it was adorned or decorated with gold and with precious gems. And he stands before this mighty temple, and he talks to the people, and he teaches them. And the fact that Jesus is teaching from this location is significant. The temple is the center of national aspiration and dignity, a place of shelter for Israel. And in the message today, he tells them not to become too enamored with that structure, because the day will come when all that they see will be cast down, thrown down and destroyed, every stone crumbled and broken, or smashed into dust. And the people listening that day are amazed. We have our beautiful stone church here in Center Hall with its magnificent stained windows. And these things, this building is tiny in comparison to that huge temple. And it's hard for us to imagine this structure being taken down or destroyed. So you can imagine the disbelief of the people that day. And they questioned Jesus, and they said, "Show us a sign. What is a sign that we can see to know that these things are coming and that these things will happen?" And pay close attention, because what Jesus says next is a point where he becomes a prophet of sorts. He predicts what's going to happen for them. And he speaks of history and world events. He speaks of disturbances in the natural world, like earthquakes, and he describes these things as connected to or somehow being used to work out the purposes of God. Now, I've told you before that I don't believe God causes evil in this world, and I don't believe that everything that happens to us and happens in this life is for a reason. But I do believe that God can and does use all things to achieve his divine purposes. Although God created this world, there's still an ongoing struggle, isn't there? And we see it every day. That struggle goes on here on earth and in heaven. And the chaos that results is reluctant to bow to the purposes of God. This world and this age is therefore going to be and will be a time of tribulation and calamity and heartache, especially for the followers of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, you may have come here this morning hoping to hear me say that Jesus can fix everything in your life. He can make everything okay, and that everything will work out and you have nothing to fear. But I can't do that, because that's not what the Bible teaches. And it's certainly not what Jesus teaches today. Instead, he tells us to look for false prophets with false promises, to not be led astray, to expect wars and insurrection, calamities on a grand scale, to look for nations to rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, famines, plagues. These are all things that are happening and will happen. And we can expect to be attacked on a personal level. We can expect to be persecuted for being followers of Jesus Christ. Maybe even imprisoned and betrayed by people we thought we knew best. Jesus describes this time when all of this will happen. Well, Terry mentioned some of the events of this week. I'll have you know I wrote this bulletin and outlined this sermon before the events of Tuesday. So I had nothing in mind when I put this together other than what I'm going to say now. We've just come through one of the nastiest times that I could recall in our nation's history, and certainly in recent memory. And those of you here today worshiping at Trinity, some of you supported one candidate and some of you supported the other. Some of you are thrilled with the result and some of you are terrified. And I've got to ask you now, though, is it possible for us to come together somehow and be one people? And be one people. Will it be possible to treat one another with decency and respect, even if we see the world much differently from each other? And here is what I think. I think we can if we recognize and realize one thing. We are not a people defined by our political party. We're not a people defined by whether we admire or abhor Donald Trump. Instead, we are a people that are, or at least should be, defined by our faith in Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we are going to need each other in the days to come. I don't expect Donald Trump to solve all of our nation's problems any more than I would have expected Hillary Clinton would have. Because what Jesus promises is not a world of peace and prosperity, not a world of justice for all, not a world where logic and common sense rule the day, but a world of chaos and calamity. And my friends, my church family, people of the body of Christ, of Trinity United Church of Christ, we need each other. I need you. And thank God for this church and for all of you, because without you, I would not want to face what the world may deal us in the days to come, in what Jesus described as a time of tribulation. But fortunately, that's not the end of the story, is it? Because Jesus speaks on, and listen closely to what he says. We, our followers of Jesus Christ, can live in confidence and assurance because we know who has the last word. The last verse in our reading today says, "By your endurance you will gain your souls." You see, through it all, God works, sustains, and continues to create and works out his purposes. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing to be a part of and to participate in. And that's our opportunity. Another translation reads, "By holding fast, you will gain your lives." Several years ago, when my family lived in England, we were stationed there when I was in the Air Force, our family took a trip from where we lived, which was about an hour north of London, and we went up to the north part of Scotland, to the Isle of Skye. The Isle of Skye. And at the northernmost tip of that island, it was cold, first of all. It's on a longitude roughly equivalent with Alaska, some parts of southern Alaska. So it's very far north and sits on the North Sea. It's the oldest continually occupied castle in the United Kingdom, the castle that sits there. And that castle is the ancestral seat of the Clan MacLeod. It's called Dunvegan. Now, we were eager to go there and visit because this is the clan that my wife Terry descended from. See, her maiden name was McClure, and that's a branch of the Clan MacLeod that was a part of that castle. And then she gave up that proud and historical name to become a downer. That's what I thought too, you know. And she married this guy whose history is from southern England, a bunch of farmers. But it's something that I'll always remember and cherish about her and our relationship. But part of what we learned, too, was the crest, the family crest of the Clan MacLeod, has two words in it, hold fast. Hold fast. And it comes from that scripture, by holding fast, you will gain your lives. Hold fast. That is our cry now as Christians living in 2016. By holding fast, you will gain your lives. Let us as a people, as believers and followers of our Lord Jesus Christ, be united as one in our faith. Be united as brothers and sisters, as co-heirs, and as children of Jesus Christ, or as children of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And let us not compromise our faith to the things of this world, to the earthly powers that will come and go, but let us hold fast to our faith and to the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. And God's commandment is this, to see difficult times as a chance to testify to his name. Not just difficult times, but the good times too. And I pray, my prayer is that we have many good times coming as a nation and as a people. Our God promises in verses 13 and 14 of our reading today that he will neither leave us nor forsake us, but will walk beside us and give us the words to say in our own defense when we are faced with that persecution, and to communicate a wisdom and understanding far beyond anything that we can conjure in our brains. God will give us a holy defense that we can then use to oppose those that come against us. And just like Jesus in this scripture today, they'll not have a word to say. No, Jesus will not leave us. And our words and actions from this day forth can be a reflection of the hope that lives within us and a testimony to the love of God, a love that knows no bounds or limits. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for those that have come forward to join this body of Christ. And we pray for unity today in this, your body, but also in our community and in our country. Heal us of those things that separate us, Lord, and help us strive and work together to build a nation that is under God, that you are proud of, and that we as your people can serve and be free, knowing, Lord, that we have the protection offered by the many men and women that have given of their time and their lives to preserve those freedoms. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.